April 1st, 1897. The Human versus the Divine. Ellen G. White. Sabbath, May 29th, Part 2. The privilege bestowed upon us in doing service for Christ is the highest exaltation that can be given to the human agent. And God desires that man shall choose him as the portion of his soul. Without this decided acceptance of the heavenly gift, in preference to any other that the world can give, Christ's followers can never be one with him as he is one with the Father. Consider the wondrous power of our God, and then call to mind his love for fallen man. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can man, for whom God has done so much, for whom Christ has given his life, continue in his perversity? Can we wonder that at the close of the 1,000 years, all who have refused to accept him shall be destroyed with fire from heaven outside of the city of God? God declares that this shall be so. He says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." I love Jesus. I tremble at the word of God. I am seeking to hide myself in the cleft of the rock, that I may behold his holiness of character. God has a people, and I want to be among them. I want, too, that you shall be among them. And if you will, without any reservation, give up your way and will to God, you may. The Spirit calls today. There is hope still. The Church of God, enfeebled and defective though it is, through yielding to temptation, is the only object upon earth on which he bestows his supreme regard. His interest, with all the interest of the heavenly host, is all with his people, who, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, are to shine as lights in the world. His Holy Spirit is giving rich and constant supplies of grace for every emergency. Not one needs to stumble, for Christ has said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Satan has a church upon the earth which outnumbers the church of Christ. Christ calls it the synagogue of Satan because its members are the children of sin and transgression. They have ceased to honor God. They have cast his divine law aside. They have confounded the distinction between good and evil. But the world's Redeemer will have a church in which these essential differences will be made apparent, where the character of God will be represented. In marked contrast to the character of Satan, the beauty of holiness will be exemplified. The loveliness of truth shine forth in life and practice. Its members will honor, love, and glorify God whom the world has despised. These are the fruits by which they are known to the world. These will have the superscription of heaven by which all men may know that they are Christ's disciples. Through Jesus Christ, God has made every provision that his people may connect with divine agencies, and that these agencies may cooperate with human instrumentalities. They may reveal to a world that is dead in trespasses and sins the power and sufficiency of Christ. They will present before the world another world of higher, holier laws than worldly wisdom can invent or earth obey, a purer happiness and joy than earth can give to its votaries, coming through a service that is independent of all human inventions. There must be no human calculations. God will have only those as workers who will be laborers together with him, who will yoke up with Christ and learn of his meekness and lowliness of heart. His directions are, make everything according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. Then a temple of heavenly design will be presented to the world, where the divine presence is manifested, and to which is affixed God's seal. Like Christ, every man has had offered to him the kingdoms of this world if he will acknowledge the supremacy of Satan. And how many are doing this before the universe of heavenly intelligences? Before God, their Creator, and Jesus Christ, their Redeemer? But suppose all of Satan's alluring temptations were just as he represents them. Will you, even if you know that by assenting to them you would gain the whole world, be so infatuated, so bewitched, as to sacrifice your hope of heaven, your spiritual and immortal interests, for mere worldly advantages? You have another life than that which you live in this world. You are to consider this, and live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Happiness and success are the prospects presented before you if you will work in Christ's lines. But how many are saying, I will not accept the conditions. I will have my own way and will in the matter. I warn you that if you keep on in this course, you will have all your own way, with all that it implies. This is nothing less than the loss of your soul. But for all who for their Savior's sake will make any and every sacrifice, even to want and hunger and death, there awaits the crown of eternal life that Paul was seeking for, and an eternal weight of glory. God declares, Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Here is the condition. God has made the promise. He calls to all. Will you hear his voice? Sin not against the Holy Spirit. I want you to be saved. Your soul is precious. Jesus loves you. He has created you. You are in his possession, not only by creation, but by redemption. If those who loved you best would give their own life for you, it would not save your soul. Jesus has died that life and immortality might be brought to light and be comprehended by every son and daughter of Adam. Mrs. E. G. White.